Christmas time is supposed to be a happy time. Sometimes drunken people do better than us Christians. In our joyous occasion of the coming of the Messiah. Yesterday we read from Luke how the shepherds gather around as they were doing their work, watching the sheep, and suddenly a light came. We know the story, but I try to picture it in my mind, the whole scenario. And then, what do you do when there is this being in front of you, glowing with glory, with immense power, and suddenly is there? You know, the angel said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid." So these are not just nice, cute angels. And then we talked about how at one certain event, at a certain time of the year, angelic hosts dispersed and descended upon the earth. All have their mission. And so the angels, the shepherds, they were stunned, just staring at the light. You know, that was big enough. And then suddenly a host of angels came, you know, a whole orchestra came down from heaven just to sing and declare and heralded the coming of the Messiah. That would be an experience, yeah? Just to be there in that whole scenery. For some people, they probably would drop their rod and start sprinting away. What is it that so excited these angels and the whole heavenly host that mankind do not know or doesn't even have the whole gravity of what is happening? Few people on earth were paying attention to this occasion. Only a few, not many. It's not like the 4th of July in America, where, 7 o'clock, we're going to have these fireworks, and everybody bring their chairs and sit down. And sometimes we paint the picture that that was going on. The shepherds were waiting at night, and then, you know, they're here, and then suddenly, ta-da, appears this angel. These were special messenger from heaven on a special assignment on that simple season and yet so significant in the kingdom of God. These angels, a sign. One talked to Mary, and then Joseph, and then to the wise man, the Magi, and then they saw another vision. Come on, wake up, take the baby, he's in danger. And I thought for the whole entire eternity, from the very beginning, they've been watching since the fall of man what is about to take place. And saw and witnessed the rejection of mankind and their resistance towards God all throughout the ages, the Old Testament. And that that time is coming near. And the whole heavenly host, the humility and the willingness of the Son of God to calm down as a little baby, the first time the Trinity came down, born on a virgin birth, to become vulnerable and weak for the sake of humanity. There must be an excitement to them, you know. So now mankind will have a chance. Oh, yes, yes, it's born. You know, and everyone have the assignment, the significant event. There are more that they know than humanity itself. There's a spiritual, powerful event that is taking place that will shape the history of mankind. that those who dwell in darkness will see the light. That those who are hopeless, this eternal hope has come. For those who are insecure, blind spiritually, this one has come, this light, to open the eyes that are blind. For those who are discontented with life, hope, eternal, unending hope is finally here. You know, if I am a person who have suffered loss, who have no answer in life, looking, searching in darkness, trying to create hope in darkness, compounding myself in my own way to bring my own hope, when I see this, if I encounter this, this good news, this incredible message that you no longer can dwell in darkness, light has come. That darkness is going to be broken. Your oppression will be, you will be free. I will be jumping up and down. You know, my countrymen, they won the first Olympic gold this year. I was even too nervous to watch the game in rugby. So I woke up the next day, you know, trying to, you know, did they win? And then they won. And then suddenly the celebration started to happen. I was excited, the joy, the whole nation erupted with joy. But here, the little baby who will come to take the punishment of the whole world, the whole entire humanity upon himself, as if he was the one that committed it. To take the penalty of our sins so we can be free. And there is no joy in that. This deep sense of gratitude that brings us to worship because of what the Messiah has done. John chapter 3:16, a wonderful verse that we read all the time. You know, one of the things that we bought a dinosaur packet for my son. Boy, you should see his excitement. You know, trying to tear, you know, whoa, come down, you'll destroy your presents. And it's a joy for the father. It's our joy as parents to see our children happy. You know, every parent. To see your children happy, it's a joy. It brings joy. For me, I'm a crybaby. It brings tears to me. And we want to give good stuff. See, for God so loved the world that he gave the most precious thing. Amen? The most precious. We like to keep the precious thing to ourselves. And we put the second best to others many times in human nature. But God in his, you know, it's funny because when I read how excited the angels were, you know, and then the shepherds, they caught in to the excitement. They know, wow, good news, you know. They respond to it right away. I wonder what it's like when Christ told the story of the father and the prodigal son. The son left, and then the father every day is looking, waiting, anticipating. I'm sure his servants would come to him. Are you okay, sir? Are you okay? I'm sorry, we keep hoping that he will return one day. And that's the thing that I kind of picture in my mind. To see that the very creation of God, that he delighted, that he spoke and everything came to pass. And when it comes to creating mankind, he bent down and shaped us in the palm of his hand. So precious. And he's longing to see that relationship reconciled over thousands of years. That we have the patience, the waiting, the preparation to see that happen. And finally, it has happened. And boy, that's deserved praise and worship. Amen? That the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one who will save us from our sin, is here. I'm going to end. I told a story yesterday about a young lady named Jessica Buchanan, one of the volunteers in one of the Dennis organization, and they work in Somalia to train kids about landmines. How to be careful and how to remove landmines. But what happened, this lady was kidnapped by some, this happened in 2011, I think. And so I was watching the documentary on 60 Minutes. So Jessica was taken captive by this terrorist group in Somalia. And they won a ransom for her for $45 million. And so they went and hid her in the desert, in captive. And, well, she was rescued. So in her story, she described the ordeal. She said, at any moment, I think it's going to be my last day in captivity. For 2 months, she was in captivity. And then what happened was... They keep relocating her in fear that another group, maybe Al-Shabaab, will come and take over and demand that ransom that the other party was negotiating for. But it happens, they ask Jessica, so what do you think in this time of captivity? What was in your mind? Do you ever think that your nation will come and rescue you? They don't even know where I am in captivity. And so what happened, they produced a video demanding ransom, and she spoke on the video. And nights after night, she would sleep out in the desert together with all these armed men. And she looked up in the sky in the thick of darkness. You know, said, God, if you are there, send somebody. And she said, there is no way that I could escape from this. Because nobody knows where she is. She's a nobody in her mind. You know, she's just part of the population in America. And something happened. Somehow the video went to different organizations and end up on the White House. And then the White House did their thing. So one evening, close to Christmas, they move and relocate this lady into another area in the desert, in Somalia. And she said, it was dark, and I was lying there, sick, and just counting my days. When will I die? You know, what is going to happen to me? And then suddenly, she heard commotion going on around her. And then she pulled down her cover and saw one of the terrorists standing frozen like he saw something. And then the last thing she heard was gunfire. It was going all over the place. And you know, she feared the worst, that she might get shot and die. So she just accepted. Think this is probably it. cover herself and just wait for the worst. And then suddenly the fire, gunfire died down, and then she heard footsteps coming closer to her. Her heart was beating faster. She does not know what was going on. And he said, in the middle of her fear and disillusionment, she heard a voice that calls her name, Jessica. And it was one of the guy. And he said, the only difference is that I heard an American accent. She pulled down her cover, still with fear, and see all these guys with masks surrounding her. And said, who are you? And they said, we are from the military and we are from America. We are here to take you home. So they took her, gave her some medicine before they left. While they were walking away, some of the military guys felt that there were people coming. So they told Jessica, you gotta lie down. And they lie on top of her and provide surrounding cover over her. And she said, the guy that was interviewing her from 60 Minutes said, what do you feel when they did that? And she said, I feel like I was the most important person under their safety. Well, she was rescued by an elite military group. And the story captured me because that's what God did to us. When we are in the rut, when we are in the darkest moment of our lives, when we feel that there is nothing and no one will come and rescue us, God came to us. Amen? And now in this modern day, people are saying, oh, I can, you know, I'm getting through to God in my own way. In my own way, I'm getting through to God. And but the story of Christmas is this, that God gets through to us in his own way, in his own effort, in his own determination to reach us and bring us back to him. Amen? That's the good news of Christmas, that God did that to us despite everything else. He chose to come down in the person of Jesus Christ to lay down his life for us. This birth, this Christmas, as I said before, it speaks to us of our worth and our value in God. That God gave the ultimate gift of his son because he valued us so much. Because of our worth, that our life, like Jessica, is worth rescuing. That your life and my life and the whole of humanity is worth fighting for. That our soul, our spirit for eternity is worth coming down as a baby. The message of Christmas is not just a jolly, jolly, good, happy, happy. It is God reaching out to mankind to bring us back in restored fellowship, reconciliation with him and with each other. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your commitment to us. We want to thank you for how much you value us, how much we are worth to you by giving your life. We thank you. And I pray for all of us that this Christmas will be a reflection that we will embrace our worth and our value because of you, that we will show others also how valuable and how worthwhile they are. In Jesus' name, amen.